20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans, Vikings fans, football fans, sports fans, maybe Lions and Bears fans? Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration that the New York Times called Fine. I am joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler and, of course, Paul Farrington of the Paul Farrington Show. Of course, Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast. Excited to chat all things NFC North. We're going to be going over sort of a NFC North preview today. Like I said, a little bit from all four teams. We're going to spend some time figuring out the Vikings quarterback stuff. We'll talk about what Green Bay needs to do in the offseason. And then again, little Bears and Lions as well. But before we get there, Paul, Ziggy, it has been far too long. How the heck are you guys doing?
It's doing great. Doing a lot better now that we get to hang out with you again, Andy. We were just saying it has been way too long. Ziggy and I are trapped in snow here on the East Coast. I'm sure you are as well in Green Bay right now.
We have none, basically.
Are you serious?
We have a little leftover, but no major snow at the moment. I was just telling Ziggy, he got more snow in the last like 48 hours or whatever than we got all winter so far.
Wow.
So we're sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, we're getting dumped on. Blue skies. Yeah, we're getting dumped on right now, but it has me dreaming of warmer weather days.
Yeah, I totally feel that. Zee, how you doing, man?
It's nice to be in the off season. There's about a month before the Minnesota Vikings can let me down again. So send in the dissertation, live the life, enjoy the good things while they come.
Love it. Well, it's great to be back catching up with you guys. I want to start. First of all, how are you feeling about your off season so far? First of all, I'd be remiss not to say condolences from the Packers family to the Vikings family. The Rondale Moore situation, absolutely terrible. Yeah. The exact last thing in any form of life, but certainly not what you want to be talking about from a football conversation standpoint. Just a brutal situation, and obviously prayers and condolences out to his family and the Vikings family as well.
Yeah, no, exactly what you said. I echo it too. It's sad. The Vikings have had a lot of these situations. I mean, I know they're different situations, right? But like the Vikings have just had a lot of tragedies lately. It's hard to watch, but or hard to read about. But obviously, right there with you. Prayers out to the Moore family, and appreciate that. Was very nice. Well said.
No, I appreciate that. Obviously, no easy way to transition off of that. But well, let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. And, just kind of how have things gone so far? You got to keep your defensive coordinator. That's good. Your general manager is gone. That's interesting. And quarterback is still definitely a top of conversation. I'll let you guys start anywhere you want.
Go ahead, Ziggy. Jump into it.
I mean, this seems like a really bad year to be in the market for a quarterback, right? I've tried to cook up a lot of different situations for the Minnesota Vikings, and it's not clear what you're supposed to do. You can run it back with J.J. McCarthy and say, look, we know he's only played like 25% of the games he's been eligible for, but this time it'll be different. He'll get bigger. He'll get stronger. He'll get better. That doesn't sound great. You can get somebody old like Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo, which doesn't excite you. You can try and convince Daniel Jones to come back coming off an Achilles tear, but he already didn't really want to be in Minnesota. You could go for like Malik Willis and offer him $20 million a year. You could trade for Tua, who gets to play in a dome. But like, there's not a lot of good options for the Vikings, and it does not make me feel super excited entering into free agency. I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, the biggest story for the Vikings is quarterback and what we're going to do at that position. But yeah, to your point, bring back Flores was a massive win. We did a live reaction show after that, or after the news broke that he was pretty much back, right? That was great. And Kwesi, another one where we did a live reaction. It seems like that may get a little ugly as we continue moving forward with the breakup there. But it was just something that I didn't expect happening when the news broke. I thought he had made it through the dark period where maybe he would get canned. And what was so concerning about it, Andy, is the Vikings gave off this public perception of being such a tight-knit, team and organization. And even when you saw Kwesi and O'Connell interacting in videos, it always seemed like it was a very, like, kumbaya, like, kind of happy environment. And the more stories that comes out, it's like, oh, okay, like, if it's unraveling from the top there, then players are tweeting out when Darnold winning the Super Bowl, right? I think the offseason, while we have had a big win in Flores, beyond just the major question marks the Vikings have at the QB position, it's like, okay, like, how shaken is the foundation here, given everything that's happened in the past month and a half? And that's something that Kevin O'Connell is in charge of fixing over the next few months. So that is another big thing to me. It's like, this team that you thought was very well put together emotionally seems to be a little unstable.
Yeah, that's a huge interesting aspect to me, is just kind of where it goes from this. I was talking to somebody the other day, and you know, we were kind of commenting on, you know, all the NFL teams, and it's a good reminder that there's dysfunction with every single NFL team. And it's just like, where is the level of dysfunction within the team and the organization? And some it's just really bad and you can't. Oh, did I cut out?
No,
I can still hear. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're good now.
So yeah, what level of dysfunction is there between, you know, there's the Browns level of dysfunction, and then there's, like, you know, you get to the top, obviously Seahawks, things are going great. Even the Eagles, you know, like, they've won what, 2 Super Bowls in the last, what, 5-6 years. Yeah. And then, you know, now they're, you know, seemingly at a level of dysfunction again, with a year of complete dysfunction in between the 2 Super Bowl wins, which is insane as well. So yeah, there's always a level of it. You never know exactly when it's going to strike, but it did seem like things were pretty buttoned up. And now you have no GM technically, and you've got this huge offseason. You know, and some of the quarterbacks that you didn't mention, Ziggy, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, Ty Simpson, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like
Tanner McKee, I don't know.
Geno Smith, like, there's a lot of options. None of them seem great at the moment.
I kind of think, sorry, Ziggy, to interrupt you. I kind of think, as I continue to talk, right? I kind of think that Rodgers and Murray are the two guys that I am really paying the most attention to, Andy, that you just mentioned, where Aaron Rodgers is a nice bridge that you can have, even if you want to give McCarthy another year to kind of figure it out. And that's a weird route to go down after playing him already. But if you feel like the team's competitive and can win right now, out of all the quarterbacks you mentioned, a good year of Rodgers would probably be the best opportunity to win. While Kyler Murray, he's a situation where if you bring him in, it truly feels like a battle between him and McCarthy for who's going to be the quarterback probably moving forward. It's hard to see JJ winning that job back from Kyler if Kyler were to play well. So what I think it all comes down to is what direction, or where does Kevin O'Connell currently see this team? Does he see them as a team that's ready to win right now? In which case, you probably want to go get someone, or are you willing to be a little patient, which the Vikings haven't really been, and it just backfired horrendously when they thought McCarthy was the guy. So I think first figuring out your identity is a good start for Minnesota.
What I got asked this on a live show the other day. What is the percentage chance that a former Packers quarterback is a starting quarterback at some point this year for the Minnesota Vikings? It's basically Malik Willis or Aaron Rodgers. I don't think, you know, Taylor Elgersma or Brett Hundley or anybody else is running through the door. I don't think Favre's coming back. So it's just Rodgers or Willis, but it's an interesting percentage, not either way.
What do you put, Ziggy? I think it's pretty low, honestly.
I also think it's very low. 5%. Aaron Rodgers is not coming to Minnesota. I know that's the headline story. That's what people want to talk about. It's not going to happen. The Vikings are not about to spend $20 million or more a year to get Malik Willis. Like, they're not handing the Justin Fields contract to him. That's just not where the Vikings are at when they're already pressed on cash. I have a hard time seeing it being a Packers quarterback next year.
I put it like 5%. I think that's exactly what I said.
But that's exactly how I answered the question, was 5%.
Yeah, it seems too unlikely. Though Malik Willis is an interesting candidate, right? If you were to throw out the guys of, like, who's going to make you, who can get you a little excited? Malik Willis would have me more nervous than excited. But the flashes that he showed for you guys last year, if you string that together over the course of a season, I mean, we're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So there's absolutely intrigue, and I'd imagine he's going to get an opportunity somewhere to at the very least compete for the starting job. And that's mind-blowing to me from where he was coming into Green Bay. And it's really a testament to the Packers' development and, I guess, Malik's individual progression. But I'm shocked that we're talking about Malik Willis like this in 2026.
All right, we're going to do a Vikings Rorschach test for I want to, on a scale of 0 to 10 skulls, 10 being the highest, 0 being the lowest, I'm going to give you a quarterback name, and I want you each to react how many skulls you would give it if they were the starting quarterback this year for, you know, week one and just through the entire season, basically. JJ McCarthy.
You go first, Ziggy, in these. I'll go after you.
Two schools.
Two schools.
I mean, I was out on JJ McCarthy like week four last year, and I haven't seen much to change my mind.
I'd probably give it five or six schools. Like it's JJ McCarthy is my guess who will be the quarterback, and I think he should have another year to see what he has. I'm just not. I don't really think it's going to work out.
Max Brosmer.
Negative infinity. Skulls.
Like I'm going three skulls. We won a game with Max Brosmer having negative passing yards. If you have those kinds of leadership qualities, you can do anything.
He's a gamer.
I like Max Brosmer the person, but if Max Brosmer was our starting quarterback, negative infinity.
I guess if Max Brosmer was our starting quarterback, that meant that something happened to JJ McCarthy's. Because like, he's not beating, so that can't be good. Never mind. I'm with Paul.
All right. Kyler Murray.
One skull. I don't think Kyler fits of what the Vikings want to do on offense. I think he's very expensive. It means we gave up some draft capital to get him. I don't think the Kyler Murray connection to Minnesota makes a lot of sense.
It might not make a lot of sense, but if Kyler was our starting quarterback, you could probably get me up to seven skulls. Like I would be excited with Kyler Murray as the quarterback. It would probably go wrong, but I know there's a baller in Kyler Murray, and we've seen it before. And can O'Connell bring it out of him? At this point, it's been a while since he's played really good football, but you know it's hard not to get a little excited if Kyler Murray's their starting quarterback.
Kyler's probably the one that, as a Packers fan, would make me the most nervous. Just if, like, if somehow O'Connell got Max Kyler Murray, like, that would be like, oh, that's a problem. That's a pain. Maybe it's not like Super Bowl or high end playoff worthy or whatever, but that's a pain to play. So that would probably be the one that would be, you know, give me the most concern, I think. All right. Geno Smith.
Zero scores.
I'm going four. I'm not on zero. Geno Smith, the Raiders destroy anybody who enters into their organization. It's just what happens, with the exception of Max Crosby. I still think he can play football. I think he fits into the offense. If they can get him cheap, he's one of the better options, I think. I'll move up to five, actually.
But what are you excited about, Ziggy?
I'm excited for competency, Paul.
If you have Geno Smith and you have competency and you win seven or eight games, it's like that is the worst possible place
you Paul, can be. Without competency, we win seven or eight games.
You guys won nine games with zero competency last year, basically, at quarterback at least.
Yeah, I just don't expect to have that level of defensive performance again the way it was. I mean, we basically beat Detroit, what, six turnovers there? Also a little lighter towards the end of the season, schedule-wise. Like, Geno Smith to me would be the perfect mediocre quarterback for us to be mediocre, and I'd rather be terrible with JJ. Like if McCarthy comes in and we win three games, that'd be better to me than winning eight with Geno Smith.
The one thing about Geno that it would be kind of, at least again, if I were in your shoes, is that it would feel like it would be like a fair, legitimate competition. Not like if you're bringing in Kyler, like Kyler's the starter, right? Like it feels like if you bring in Geno, like McCarthy could legitimately beat him out, but you have now another option just in case things don't go well.
Geno also wasn't good last year.
Like not good at all.
That's, you know, it would be
a terrible offensive line and not great web. I mean, you have Bowers, I guess, but that's a really bad situation.
Yeah, it is a nightmare. You got to give him a little slack there, but no, Geno Smith would be zero skulls for me. I would not be happy about that.
All right, Anthony Richardson.
Oh,
I was an Anthony Richardson believer for so long, but at this point, isn't Anthony Richardson just JJ McCarthy, but with more bad games of football? He's hurt all the time. He doesn't seem to grasp the basics of the position. He doesn't seem to be able to run the offense. But it is Anthony Richardson, and he's bigger, stronger, faster, JJ McCarthy. So I'll go three skulls.
Yeah, if he was our starting quarterback, I'd probably give it four. But if you just brought him in, it is funny. Like any quarterback you mention here, it's just going to be a circus no matter what you do with the Vikings this offseason. Anthony Richardson would really be like, oh, the potential of this locker room right here. The stories you'd be hearing about Richardson and McCarthy having just these unbelievable battles and training camp days would get Vikings fans so excited. We'd think we're winning the Super Bowl. I guarantee you if we had Anthony Richardson and JJ McCarthy during training camp, I would come on one of our shows and I'd say, I think we have a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's how much people would hype it up.
Here's what I want. I want a Richardson McCarthy where McCarthy is in the huddle for the first play. And then in the meantime, O'Connell's coaching up Richardson for play two. And then, you know, after McCarthy runs his play, Richardson runs on the field, McCarthy comes off, and now, you know, O'Connell has a huge chat with McCarthy to what's going to happen on the next play to give him exactly what he needs. And they just alternate every other play. Combined, they form the Voltron of mediocre quarterbacks.
Well, you know what's funny, Andy, about McCarthy and Richardson is someone was saying the other day to me, the Seahawks were getting, Sam Darnold was getting so much praise during the Super Bowl run of, you know, his perseverance and people believing in him, right, from the 49ers and the Vikings, even when he was failing pretty much. And then we go back and look at J.J. McCarthy, and then all the Vikings fans are saying, like, oh, how could we give up on Sam, you know? And 10 games into McCarthy, we're like, oh, career's over. And Anthony Richardson has been hurt a lot. Yep, that's concerning. Hasn't played that great since his rookie season. But he's another guy who, if Vikings fans want to talk about giving people second and third and fourth chances, we're not doing that with JJ after year one of him starting. So I think that it's funny how the conversation kind of is warped around these guys of, oh, we believe in the guys who succeed and come back, but then the guys who are currently in the process of needing people to believe in them, it's like, oh, just screw those guys. Like, why would I ever want them playing for me? And it makes sense how it happens, but it's just, it's funny how the mind works there.
15 starts for Anthony Richardson, 10 for J.J. McCarthy. So just a 5-start difference, which is kind of crazy. Kirk Cousins. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before and we had young kids at the time, and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers' promise is simple. All you do is take 3 capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you.
I want to believe this is a 2-scorer for me. There's not a lot of high numbers here because there's not a lot of chance I'm getting excited. Kirk didn't look great last year. He continues to get older. He continues to get less and less mobile. Like, Kirk Cousins is not really a player you think of as someone who's 38 years old, but he's old. He hasn't been good for a while. I can't get excited about Kirk.
And he blew us off at the draft. One score, Kirk Cousins.
There you go.
No, I put it at 1 or 2 as well.
All right, Aaron Rodgers.
10 schools. You
know, all the reasons that I said I was out on Aaron Rodgers last year, I'm still out on Aaron Rodgers. I do not want to deal with it. But at least if he's going to be a quarterback over the age of 35, he's been really good at some point. So I'll give that 3 schools.
10 schools. Right, 100%. I think with Rodgers, there is a Super Bowl window with Rodgers. It's a tiny opening. But if Rodgers comes in, and it would just be fun. Like, it's undeniable that would be incredible offseason and in-season content.
It's a 100 out of 100.
Yeah.
Vikings fandom, I think you'll be frustrated sooner than you think, but I could be wrong. It would also be something I just think, you know, from a Packers fan standpoint, I don't want to see. I don't want to see him in purple. I had to do that with Brett. Yeah, no thanks. But as from a competitive standpoint, it wouldn't give me, other than he'd be super motivated to get his 32nd team win against the Packers, and you'd have 2 shots to do it. That would definitely be something as well. All right, a few more. Malik Willis.
I'm going 4 on this. Malik Willis, if the Vikings believe in him, maybe he could play. I don't know how he fits in the offense. I don't know how he could handle a whole season. I don't think Malik Willis is anything. But if they believe in him, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd go 3 skulls. I like Malik. I think he's a great backup quarterback to have. And I hope he gets the shot somewhere. I just don't want my team to be the team giving that shot. And if it works out, you're talking about, what, 26, 27-year-old quarterback who could be really good for a handful of years moving forward. But we have enough question marks around our QB already.
All right, Joe Flacco.
0.
I'll give it 1.
He gets 1 skull.
He'd be a nice mentor for J.J. McCarthy, I think. I mean, Joe Flacco has said he doesn't care about that, but...
It is telling that of all the quarterbacks you've listed, I've given 1 10 and 1 7, and the 10 is 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who, if he even decides to play, says he'll go to the Steelers, or Kyler Murray, who has just been all over the map over the past handful of years. It really is it's a bad market.
The two last interesting ones, Mac Jones.
Ziggy 2. Likes Mac.
I'm not in on Mac Jones at all.
Yeah, I was 0.
Okay. Derek Carr.
Probably a 4. I don't think Carr would be very good, but he's someone that I'd find a way to talk myself into it, I believe. But it's been a while. It's been a while, and he wasn't that good the last time we saw him.
I'm a little bit puzzled by the Derek Carr talk. This is still a guy who last year retired because he didn't want to go through more surgery on his body like the team wanted him to. I mean, I'll give it a 2. He was okay sometimes with the Saints, but I don't want to trade for him. I don't want to give up draft capital for him. I don't want to pay him $30 million.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, is there anyone else in the Jimmy Garoppolo, Russell Wilson, Tanner McKee, Trey Lance? I don't know. Anything else? Any other names that I missed that would be of interest?
I'd give McKee a 4. I'd be interested in seeing what he could do.
No, I have no interest in Tanner McKee, despite what Philadelphians say about him. And then when they're writing Tanner McKee should take over for Jalen Hurts with the Eagle, like I have no interest. The way I'm viewing this whole thing is what I think is going to happen, and probably what I would like to happen outside of Rodgers, is J.J. McCarthy will be the starting quarterback next year. If the name is not Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray, I really don't want to see them be the QB. That's kind of my, or unless, you know, you want to start talking Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson trades, then you have my attention. But it's Rodgers would be fun. I think Kyler Murray could work out. Tua would be the only other guy. And like, yeah, maybe they could have success with him, but that would probably fall apart in the playoffs. Other than those three, J.J. would be my... And I'm not even sure if I'd rather have those guys than J.J. But those are the only three names that I'd want to even entertain.
I forgot one. Ty Simpson.
I'd rather have Garrett Nussmeier than Ty Simpson. Straight up.
Yeah, I'm not a Ty Simpson guy.
All right. There we go. But so yeah. I don't know what we all learned from this. I guess Rodgers or Murray for Paul and Ziggy, who was the highest grade that you gave?
I think it might have been Tanner McKee. But I think what you learned is I think that the situation is bleak and the Vikings are screwed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, obviously the Vikings have problems beyond quarterback that they need to address, but it's what we were talking about earlier. They did win 9 games last season with a broken team in many ways. The offensive line being juggled around a lot. The quarterback clearly being the big issue. So it feels like they're close to being really competitive, but you're going to need to have one of those kind of classic Vikings bring in a QB and they have a wonder year. And that's what they're trying to avoid. That's the whole reason they went with McCarthy over Darnold. And it feels a little weird to break, like, after making the decision to go with J.J., after one season saying, nope, this failed, let's go back to who we were before. So I think the best decision is probably just move forward with J.J. and give him another chance.
It'll be interesting either way. All right, before we move to Packers, like what's your one other kind of overarching big, picture thought for the Vikings this offseason? The one thing that you're really keeping an eye on or you think is most interesting?
For me, it's we have got to figure out the secondary. Cornerback was a huge problem last year. Harrison Smith, he put together an incredible year, but I don't think he's coming back, which leaves a huge hole at cornerback and a huge hole at safety. And with the way Brian Flores plays, to some extent, you can get away with that. But it wasn't good enough last year. And even with the guys leaving on the defensive line and that needing some replacement, the secondary for the Vikings is a huge, huge problem at every position.
Yeah, and I was going to say interior defensive line, but you could say either one. Cornerback, we got lucky that Murphy and Isaiah Rodgers were healthy last year, too. We didn't really have that many injuries in the secondary. So it's the defense, while they were unbelievable, it's easy to see a world where they regress pretty quickly if Grenard or Van Ginkel take a step back, right, at the edge rusher position. That becomes a little bit of a problem, and you're hoping Dallas Turner can take a step forward. But yeah, the secondary has been an issue. Cornerback specifically has been an issue for the Vikings for a long time. And right now, you like Murphy and Rodgers, but you'd like a little more depth there. And who knows, losing Harrison Smith, athletically, he's not what he used to be, but mentally, you can see the impact he has on the defense. Like, just if you run the all 22 footage, right? Like, you see him literally pushing people into position on certain plays. That's another dude that you're going to have to make up for, at least from the leadership standpoint as well.
Is the NFC North, it has to be, I can't imagine it's not. Is the NFC the worst cornerback division in the NFL? What is your three starting cornerbacks from the NFC? And so I would say like Jalen Johnson, Byron Murphy, and like DJ Reed. I don't know who else is in the conversation.
Keyshawn Nixon. Duh. No.
Oh God. Yeah. No, that's not happening. I mean, if you wanted to play like Brian Branch in the slot or something, you know, that would help things out, I guess. But
yeah. Can we start pulling safeties and seeing how they do?
The safeties are great. It's an unbelievable safety division overall, but the corners is just a nightmare.
Yeah, I think that would have to be it, right? Johnson. I mean, unless you want to play around with Nashawn Wright, like
he was a free agent.
I mean, he had a good year, but he also got torched a handful of times. Like, yeah, I'd probably go with the three guys you said.
I'm just trying to look right now. So the highest rated PFF grade for Detroit is DJ Reed at the 45th ranked corner. Chicago is Tyreek Stevenson at 39. Green Bay is Keyshawn Nixon at 38. And Minnesota is Isaiah Rodgers at 19. So 19, Isaiah Rodgers was the highest graded PFF corner in the division last year.
I don't know how much individual games impact PFF grade, but he did have the perfect grade that one game.
Oh, crazy. All right, let's move to the Packers. I want to start by asking you guys, what was your thoughts on Green Bay keeping Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and then as an aside, also losing Halfley and bringing in Jonathan Gannon as defensive coordinator?
Go ahead, Ziggy, if you could take. Oh, okay. I thought, well, congrats on Bisaccia. I don't know, we don't celebrate firings or anything like that, but you know,
he
stepped
down, so he didn't even get fired.
Sorry, there's no way he stepped down. But congratulations on that. I know Packers fans are probably happy about that. Don't want to target any individuals, but I guess we're kind of doing that right now. LaFleur, I thought, was a win for you guys. I know a lot of Packers fans voiced their opinions online, but the majority seemed to want Matt LaFleur to stay. It was one of those situations we see with social media where, you know, the I guess you could say the louder minority seemed to be taking over. And with LaFleur, you're right, you guys have been so successful over the years. We went back to, in our conversation, what would make me happiest as a Viking fan? It would be if you moved on and honestly inserted a little instability to the organization. So I thought you had a great win there. Jonathan Gannon, obviously, he's a good coordinator. He had a lot of success in Philly, loaded roster there. I didn't like a lot of his head coaching decisions. I didn't like the way he handled the DeMarcado situation last year against the Titans. Thought that was bad. He's got a little
We could use some coaches punching some people here and there, honestly. That might not be the worst thing.
Yeah, right, with Jair Alexander.
If he wants to punch Keyshawn Nixon in the face after a boneheaded play, like, hey, well, we're open to it.
I'm imagining when Jair Alexander walked out as a captain, he just pulls him back, his sucker punches him. So I think Jonathan Gannon has a little bit of, building back up that he needs to do. And you guys obviously have a lot of talented players. It's a place where he could do it. And I would bring back Gutekunst too. I thought all of that was handled well from the Packers from my point of view.
Ziggy?
I mostly agree with Paul. The one thing I am going to be tracking, though, is Jonathan Gannon runs defense is pretty different than Jeff Hafley, right? Especially, I mean, Jeff Hafley was not a big cover four guy. Jonathan Gannon runs cover four maybe more than anyone in NFL history. So seeing how in the first few weeks the Packers adjust to that, we'll see how the schedule comes out. But if I were a Packers fan, I would want to see some weak offenses those first few weeks. Let the defense start adjusting, because the first like half of a season with a new defensive coordinator can be pretty tough.
Yeah, if we could get the Vikings week one, that would be ideal. It would just be fantastic to get that easy win right off the bat and go against a not great quarterback. It would just, yeah, it would really, you know, set things in.
If you had the Vikings in Lambeau in week one, you would probably just beat the crap out of us again.
Yeah, who knows? I mean,
I don't know. Our best quarterback performance last year was week one, and it was all downhill from there. You don't want first game, fourth quarter, JJ McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It would be beneficial for you as well, because, you know, you've got all the major players coming back from injury. Micah, unlikely to play week one or even week two, three, potentially four. You know, I think Zach Tom, Tucker Kraft are going to be back. I think Devontae Wyatt's going to be back, but you got a lot of guys coming off of major injuries. So week one is not a bad week to get Green Bay if you guys get it on your side.
It's amazing how many guys you have coming back from injury. I always forget. I don't forget about too often, but like thinking about how much talent there is in Green Bay coming back, it almost feels like you're adding them in free agency or via the draft to give you an extra boost there from what you were at the end of the year compared to where you were, what, like week three or four of last season. There's so much talent returning to the roster.
What could the Packers do this offseason that, as Vikings fans, it would give you the biggest fear, the biggest, like, oh God, like, not that. Like, in the realm of realistic, like, obviously, they don't have a first-round pick. They can probably make one, I would say, probably not like $20 million a year sort of signing in free agency, but I think they could sign like a 15, 16, 17 per year kind of free agent. What's something that they would do? It doesn't even have to be a specific player, maybe a position they would target. Is there anything that would be like, oh, that's a pain?
That'd be a if we're looking pain. Just at next year, for me, the biggest thing that would make me worry is if they get to keep some of the starters that are going to be leaving. Right. There's a lot of important players for the Packers who are leaving. Romeo Doubs could be leaving. Quay Walker could be leaving. Rashid Walker could be leaving. And while those players had ups and downs in Green Bay, all of them have been pretty important during their tenure. If the market's depressed for some of those guys, right, teams decide they want to draft wide receivers, the tackle market doesn't go quite how some people think it would, and they get to come back at a reasonable price, I don't think there's any like A-plus Xavier McKinney-style free agency additions. For me, the story of the Packers is who are they going to be able to keep in the building? And I want that to be as few of their productive players as possible.
And that's a nice thing. That's a nice thing for a Viking fan to be like, yeah, the worst case scenario is they bring back their guys. Like, that's, yeah. Go ahead, Andy, you were saying?
No, I was just going to say, I think Sheed, Malik Willis, and Romeo Doubs are gone for sure. I think those three are foregone conclusions. Quay, Sean Ryan, and Kingsley Nigbare are the three that, if the price comes down and the price is right, that I think that they would consider bringing back. But I think all three will test the market and then kind of see where they're at. But yeah, I think they definitely want at least four of the comp picks too, because they're going to need it with no first this year and no first next year. And then they can kind of, you know, potentially cancel out two others with, you know, if all six of them sign elsewhere, or if they bring two back, or if they bring one back and sign an unrestricted free agent. But I think they're going to want four of those comp picks.
Yeah. If I were looking at just trying to draw up hypothetical worlds, right? If you guys brought in another edge rusher, like, I don't know. What's your cap situation right now?
Yeah, again, they can probably sign one pretty significant free agent. I would say, you know, maybe one like kind of cut player somewhere to like a, you know, $5 to $8 million deal, and then it's going to kind of be vet minimums after that.
Like, I guess if the worst one might honestly be if you guys somehow ended up with Linderbaum. Like, that would be one world where I'd go like, all right, that's a great addition for them. I don't think that's really on the table so much, but Linderbaum would probably be taking a bit of a pay cut there. But if you got, you know, an elite center, that'd be like, oh wow, they got one of the things they really need this offseason. And
I don't think it'll be Linderbaum, but I do think Connor McGovern from the Bills and especially Cade Mays from the Panthers, the two next centers, are probably very of interest for Green Bay. Cade Mays is probably kind of 1A on my list of free agents that I think, and he's fine. He's not great. He's fine. But he's kind of 1A on the list of targets that I think Green Bay could actually have real legitimate interest in.
Yeah. And that's why it's not really a sexy thing to say, right? Like, oh, if the Packers get a center, I'm not going to be super happy about it. So for the thumbnail, we could just be like, God, if they trade for Max Crosby, I would be really upset about that. But there's
Crosby
just
to the Packers question.
Yeah.
Perfect thumbnail.
And we talk about for 10 seconds right here. that would probably be it. If they landed one of the centers there, or went after an edge rusher and he wound up having a nice season opposite Micah.
The thing about the Packers is just they don't sign a lot of free agents. Jason Fitzgerald from Over the Cap put out a really interesting study a couple of days ago where he looked in the past 5 years, teams signing free agents over $2 million a year, right, to discount the minimum free agents. The Packers have signed 9 in the last 5 years. There's only one team even remotely close to that in the Ravens. And they pay guys a lot when they do. They try and bring in the best. But you compare this to teams like the Texans who have brought in 59 of those free agents in the past 5 years. You just can't count on the Packers doing a lot in free agency. They sign cheap guys. They fill out the roster. But important roster spots on this team are never filled, almost never filled by outside free agents on big deals.
Just Andy. Talked about this with Justice Mosqueda yesterday. The Packers don't live in the middle class of free agency. They either go big, a big time free agent signing, whether it's Jimmy Graham that did not work, Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. And these two didn't work out last year, but Aaron Banks was a huge guard contract, and Nate Hobbs was top tier slot corner contract as well. So they either go big, or they are just like, we'll sign Mecole Hardman, Devin Funchess, Sammy Watkins, those type of, Isaiah Simmons, those type of 1 year kind of vet minimum deals. They really stay out of the middle class of free agent contracts.
I wouldn't want you guys to sign Tyreek Hill. If you wound up with Tyreek Hill, I know that he's coming off a major, major injury, locker room problems at times. But that would be one where if it flashed across my screen and said Green Bay signing Tyreek Hill, I would go not happy about that.
I've got good news. I think you're safe. Yeah. If they sign a super small, especially because already fitting Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden in the same Matt LaFleur offense that doesn't like small receivers is kind of difficult in and of itself. Adding a third would be he'd have to basically completely reinvent his offense.
I'd be very surprised as well if it happened, but I wouldn't like to see that.
Yes, and
I was a little surprised, Andy. I was reading an NFL.com article just about offseason needs a couple days ago. And for the Packers, they said finding Jordan Love a wide receiver one was the biggest fix for the Packers. And I was just like, what is that really?
Yeah, it's not.
Is that even where does that rank to you even on the
it's not. It's non-existent. They'll lose Dobbs, and they're gonna go with the top four wide receivers this year of Watson, Reed, Golden, and Dontavian Wicks, with Savion Williams, a third round pick from a year ago, as their fifth. And they'll probably draft somebody on day three, just because next year, while I expect Watson to get a contract extension, Watson, Reed, and Wicks are all unrestricted free agents. So I expect them just to try to get ahead of it a little bit. So that's going to be their wide receiver core. They're not going to do anything outside of that. Dobbs is going to be gone, but you also have Tucker Kraft, who's going to get a huge contract extension. You have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. They're not searching for weapons, and maybe, just maybe, they can actually get third round pick Marshawn Lloyd healthy for any period of time this year and actually get to see him a little bit too. But either way, they're not lacking for weapons.
Yeah. I was really surprised to see that. To me, with Green Bay, it's get five guys you want across the offensive line, right? Settled, which I think you feel pretty good about most of them. You still need to figure out your center. Where else on the line are you? Are you looking anywhere else? Are you pretty good?
No, it centers the primary one. I think Aaron Banks and Anthony Belton are going to be your guards. And I think Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom are going to be your tackles. So they need depth. They could probably use some competition maybe, but center's the one right now that, unless they re-sign Sean Ryan to be that guy, Jacob Monk's not going to be it. They need a starting center. Ellen Jenkins likely cut. So that's the big one.
Yeah. So it's if the offensive line is figured out, and I'm assuming you're going to target that, to me, it's just all about the defense and getting the defense ready to go. You have Gannon coming in. All the question marks that I have about the Packers are pretty much on the defensive side of the ball and what's it going to look like. It helps starting with Micah Parsons there. But that, to me, it's like, if you're thinking about what's going to hold back the Packers from winning a Super Bowl next year, it would probably be something on the defensive side that would stop them. Because I believe in Jordan Love, and yeah. I think they're good to go offensively.
We'll be right back.
So I have a question for you, Andy, about the defense.
Yes.
So this is something people in our comments have gotten into a lot. The Packers, clearly they don't have the guys they need on defensive line, and it seems very likely Rashawn Gary is going to be gone.
Yep.
If the Packers can target one of the upper-level players in free agency at either defensive tackle or defensive end, which do you think is more important for the team to go after?
There's a mixed answer. Defensive tackle, but there's not a defensive tackle in free agency that sort of fits what they need, not a high-level one. The defensive tackle class in free agency is pretty brutal. Like, John Franklin Myers is the best, and that's kind of not what they need. They kind of need a big guy because Devontae, and we also don't know if they're going to play 3-4 or 4-3 yet, which I've forever just said I don't care because it's a nickel league, but now we're getting back into more and more base defense because of all these 2 and 3 tight end looks, so it actually matters a whole heck of a lot more. But either way, they don't need the 3 technique type. They need the run-stuffing defensive tackle, which they just don't have after they traded Kenny Clark for Micah. So the answer is they need that more, but there's not a great answer in free agency and potentially via trade either. And they don't have a draft pick until round 2, which a lot of the big guys that are really good are going to go before that. So that becomes a bit of a problem. And then I think they can find better edges. It's a much deeper edge free agency class, but you don't need a starter. You probably like somebody who can start weeks 1 through 4 while Micah is potentially on the PUP list, but LVN and Micah are probably your guys. Sorrell and Colin Oliver are probably going to be your 4 and 5, but you do really need a number 3. If Gary's gone and you lose Enagbare, you kind of need, and you want to cover for injury too, you kind of need like one more starting caliber player. So defensive tackle is the answer, but I just don't think there's a great one in free agency for them to target.
You're not a DJ Reader guy?
No, I mean, he's an option just because
he might be the best. I mean, it's him and Tonga out of New England, and those are the only guys I can even think of.
Yeah, you know, Rankins from the Texans is a decent option. You know, I think A'shaun Robinson for the Panthers is going to get cut. He's not great. Like, there's not good options. You know, big guys, we saw it last year, and you guys did it in free agency with Hargrave. Like, the defensive tackles went off the board in free agency fast and with major contracts. And then in the draft, like, Alfred Collins, who was expected to go later, goes like early, mid second round. And the Lions defensive tackle they drafted in the first round was expected to be early, mid second round. And they draft him, no questions asked, in the first round. Like, they just flew off the board in both free agency and the draft. And I'd expect something similar, even though it's not a great class in free agency for defensive tackles.
I mean, you're looking at who's winning the Super Bowls right now, right? And they're dominating up front. They're dominating inside. And it's a priority position right now. Yeah, like, it's, you know, Leonard Williams this year is unbelievable. And Jalen Carter has been... Jalen Carter still is one of the most baffling. Like, I understand why he dropped, but it was like...
Yeah.
I still just can't believe that he fell into Philly's lap. Can you imagine if Chicago had stayed there and picked Jalen Carter and they had him on the D-line? Like,
I mean, don't want to think about
what, it. What a whiff. Again, I guess it depends what your morals are as far as drafting, but yeah, I mean, what a whiff them. Right there.
Well, that transitions us, sorry, Lions and Bears fans. We probably have to go a little lightning round here, but for the Bears, let's start there. What's just kind of your 1A thing that you're looking at for, I'll just say for me, I, if they upgrade their pass rush in a significant way, that to me is like, oh crap, because that was the one thing. Their secondary needs work. Don't get me wrong. I think their defense in total needs work, but man, if Austin Booker is kind of going into your season as, you know, him and Montez Sweat are your top pass rushers, I don't have a ton of fear there. And so if they would somehow finagle their way into a Max Crosby, which I don't think is likely, or Trey Hendrickson, which I don't think is likely, or just somebody that can upgrade that pass rush in a pretty significant way, that would be like, this is a real problem.
Yeah, it all starts and ends to me with that edge rusher opposite of Sweat. And Crosby is the one where I've seen, you know, Danny Parkins has been on TV, the Bears fan on Fox, like they're pushing that, like, yeah, we'd love to have Max Crosby come over. And I'm reading more articles on hypothetical trades. That is the true NFC North offseason nightmare, is for Max Crosby to end up a Chicago Bear. I don't think it can really get any worse for the NFC North as a whole, the other three teams, unless if the Joe Burrow Vikings dream that we have came to fruition, which is basically zero. So to me, it's like Crosby to the Bears is the please God, don't let this happen. And other than that, you know, like Hendrickson goes there. He's a really good player. I think he'd have a great impact. But that to me is the one I'm just like, please don't let this happen.
It is sort of amazing that we're sitting back here, though, and the Bears like don't need to fix their offensive line, assuming Ozzie Trapillo can come back and play.
Well they need they need a left tackle to start the year, at least. Like they do need a left tackle.
Yeah, but it's been a decade of saying the Bears need five guys on the offensive line to play functional football. And now it's like, well, maybe they need a tackle for the first month.
Yeah. They're in a much better spot. After there. Andy, you mentioned the secondary, too, though. Like, they do have, I'm trying to make sure I get this right. So, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, Nashawn Wright, and Gardner Johnson are all free agents. So, like, there's a lot of work to be done on the back end for Chicago.
Big time.
Filling in roles there. So, like, that is a spot where, if you're a Bears fan, you could feel great about where the team is right now. It's like, if you have that many secondary questions, at the very least is a little concerning.
The Vikings are 1,000,000% the team that's proposing that you can trade first round picks further out, right? So you can make that mother load Joe Burrow offer. We're going to offer you 10 first round picks for Joe Burrow. We don't care about 2027 through 2037 here. Have all the first round picks bring us Joe Burrow.
If you could do that, I actually think you could see a world where the Vikings trade. Realistically, I could see them trading 5 or 6 first round picks for Burrow.
And then immediately injuring himself and being out for the year is what would probably happen.
Oh, well, I don't know if you've heard my prediction for that, Andy, but if Burrow was a Viking, we'd lose in the NFC Championship game in horrific fashion. And then the next September, he would tear his ACL. That's my prediction.
I'll accept that, especially if it's a loss to the Packers in the NFC Championship game. Just let's make that happen, too. Really quick, Detroit Lions, quick thoughts on them.
Offensive line, get it back to where it was. The last year, they were the worst up front that they've been in a long time. That was the identity of the team, right? It was, we're just going to be tougher than you. We're going to out-physical you. And when you saw that breakdown without Ragnow and Zeitler, the rushing attack in some games, which was, you know, Gibbs and Montgomery, as good as it gets, wasn't there at times. But even more concerning is Jared Goff seemed to take a pretty big step back. So they need to figure out that interior of the offensive line. And if they don't, then it's going to be hard to see them getting back to who they used to be.
And Decker might be gone too at left tackle. That's another one. I think he's kind of retirement, but they might cut him if he doesn't retire. Like that they are a shell of where they were a couple of years ago, where, I mean, you lose Ragnow. And then if you lose Decker, the guard, you know, Ratledge was not great last year as a rookie, and he can certainly get better, but it was, you didn't fear that offensive line. And Goff, it's just so important for him to have a really good offensive line, as it is for every quarterback. But yeah, that to me could potentially be a huge Achilles heel for them.
But don't forget, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is obviously great, but right now they don't have anybody to be on the other side defensive line. Muhammad's a free agent. Marcus Davenport is a free agent. Like, the best player to go opposite Aiden Hutchinson on the roster right now is Tyler Lacy. And that's probably not going to cut it next year, as good as Hutchinson is. So both sides of the line for the Lions need huge work very quickly.
Lions fans have to also be sitting back this offseason going, can we please stay healthy this year? Like, can we please just, it doesn't even need to be across the board health. Can we not have every single defensive player get hurt? Like, it feels like it's been 2 years in a row now. It has been 2 years in a row now where they have been wiped out from injuries. And I think that's another thing, like, you know, is it going to affect them again? It feels unfair to say that, but it's been 2 years of being brutalized. And 2 years ago, you may have won the Super Bowl if it didn't happen. But it's just amazing how quickly things can turn. And Detroit, I have a feeling next year at Detroit, we're either going to see a big time resurgence or, you know, the start of them starting to fall off. Or continuing their decline. Like, I don't know if we'll see a middle ground for Detroit next year. It feels like they're kind of make or break point with a few things.
I could see them taking a step back. I think it's really tough to kind of keep that going where they're at. But if they make some sort of major swing and fix the offensive line, they could easily be very good again. They still have a lot of really talented players. But it'll be close one way or the other.
The NFC North should be a lot of fun. Like it is to me right now, probably the best division in football, right?
The West is probably, you just have one really crappy team in Arizona, but then you've got San Fran, the Rams, and Seattle and the Rams felt like the Super Bowl last year in the NFC Championship game, and that they're in the same division. So I would still put them pretty high, but it's between the two for sure.
Yeah, a little more power at the top of the NFC West. But yeah, it's a full division. Like it is, I think it's the most fun division to be covering right now. So I feel lucky that we're talking about them all.
I totally agree. All right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? Any off season, you know, anything that you guys want to go over before we head out?
It's exciting that the Vikings have the quarterback is like, you know, that's the big question like that. It does make for an exciting off season. It makes for an exciting off season. But it does just suck that we're going through this again. And I feel like until that gets sorted out, there are other things, right, that we could have talked about with Minnesota. But it's looming so large. Just one, it's the quarterback position. But two, the way it's gone down, that I can't wait for them to just make the decision and start building from there. Because it's just like, it feels like they're caught in this loop right now. Like, all right, just commit to McCarthy or whatever and let's move forward. That to me is what I'm looking forward to.
You know, it's exciting having Jordan Love as a starting quarterback.
Oh, I bet. That's exciting. I bet. Yeah, I would.
We're sitting back here with these other NFC North teams saying if they can just get one or two positions right, they could be a real contender next year. And the Vikings, it's like, well, maybe with Geno Smith or Kyler, we can go 500.
Hey, we're one.
You guys
position
are
too.
One position away, just one yeah, position yeah. away from being a contender. It's a tough position to fill, but it's just one position.
Well, as of right now, we're probably like a couple weeks out and maybe 8 years away from having Jordan Love making his decision to become a Minnesota Viking. So I'm that's what I'm excited for. When we do have Jordan Love.
Where are the Minnesota Vikings plus 5,500 in the Super Bowl odds right now? That is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 14, and 20? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 22. Oh,
22.
But if you look right after us, there's a huge drop off.
You are right. The New York Giants are the next team, though. You never want to be adjacent to the New York Giants, whether there's a drop off or not. You're between the Giants and the Falcons. That's where you guys are at. That's a bad spot.
Wait, one very quick question, Andy. Would you rather be, like, right now, if you could be a fan of one of the two teams moving forward, would you pick the Giants or the Vikings?
Oh, for sure, Giants. Yeah, right? They have the quarterback. Scataboo is fun. Neighbors is fun. For sure, Giants.
Yeah. That sucks.
Abdul Carter's really fun. So yeah, you've got Brian Burns. Like, yeah. Imagine they don't like go to Saquon or Xavier McKinney and still have those two going for him. Like
this time last year, we had 14 wins and Sam Darnold. And now we're saying I'd rather be a fan of the Giants.
Not a great time. Well, I appreciate you guys a ton. Thank you so much for hopping on and doing this. It was great catching up. We'll have to do it again, maybe post-free agency or pre-draft or maybe a bit of both. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible content, guys.
Yep, you go over to the Paul Farrington Show on YouTube, at Farrington Show on social media. We got a bunch of clips coming out. Pretty easy. Just type in Paul Farrington Show.
Go follow him, Farrington Show on YouTube, and of course, at Farrington Show over on social media. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL, and of course, the Pack-A-Day podcast. We'll get together soon in the near future, and we look forward to that. We appreciate you guys for joining us today, but until next time, and as always, you do your school thing, and I'll say go Pack-Go.